Morning to everyone. I'm glad to be here again. It's been February, I think, the last time I was here. It's been a while. And I've been in two meetings back to back, one in Wichita and one in Bowie. And I thought, well, I might just get this Sunday off. And I was meditating about it. The Lord spoke to me and said, well, fourth Sunday of Enoch's coming up. I hadn't even thought about it. So here am I. Desire your prayers. I've got something on my heart that is a huge subject. I preached for probably 3-4 hours on this, but don't get excited. We're not going to do that this morning. But as pastoring, I have at times taken a subject that the Lord worked, and I would preach 3 or 4 Sundays in a row on it. I don't know, Brother Bob, if you do that, but I know some other pastors have done that. And that has that's worked. You're a miracle. I want to speak on miracles this morning and the power of God. But the bottom line is, every morning that you look in the mirror, you're a miracle. You're a miracle to be here. Let's go to the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy, the first verse. Let's read here for a little bit. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty arm, and his stretched out arm, and his miracles, and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land. And what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, and to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. And what he did unto you in the wilderness, until he came unto this place, and what he did unto Dathan and Abram, the sons of Lot, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and their tents, and all their substance, which was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in to possess the land, whether you go to possess it, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. A miracle. We start with you. And he said here he was dealing with these people. He said, you're supposed to love the Lord thy God. You're supposed to keep his charge, his statutes, his judgment, commandments always. And he dealt with them and said, your children hadn't seen what you've seen. Said, and his miracles and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land. So they had seen something, of course, that their children didn't see. They had been involved in something that they hadn't seen. And today, you and I, how many miracles have we seen? What do we know about miracles? How big a miracle have we seen? There's all kinds of miracles. And the one that can do that is the Lord God Almighty. And I'm thankful today that you and I have the opportunity and have had the opportunity to be able to see what the Lord can do. He can do anything. All power is given to me in heaven and earth, he said. He has got the power to work any miracle. And sometimes you and I might think, well, I walked into the while I was pulling into Walmart the other day, and I said, Lord, I have a great request. And I thought, he can handle any request. It don't matter how big it is or how small it is, we bring it to him and hand it to him. And I'm actually praying for, and it may seem funny, but I'm actually praying for a parking spot close to the building where I don't have to walk very far now. And it don't happen every time, but I've actually seen people pull out as I was pulling up, or getting ready to pull out. and asking the Lord, Lord, I need your help. Listen, folks, today God wants to make miracles for you. He wants to show you what He can do. He wants to show you His power and His glory. He wants to show you the things that He's done down through the years. You've heard the stories. You've listened to the ministers. You've listened to mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, and you've seen them yourself. And the greatest things that you and I have seen have been a blessing to our soul down through the years. Miracles. Now then, if you really think about it, and I thought about this before, but not to, I'd say, the depths I have this time, and that is, bottom line, you and I are a miracle. There's a lot of women that can't have children. There's a lot of men that can't father children. So the consequence that you are here, you're normal. Everything's right with you, so to speak, physically, mentally, and emotionally, in every way. And the bottom line, you are a miracle. Every time you look in that mirror, you can say, I'm a miracle. Thank you, Lord, for me being normal. Thank you, Lord, that I've been able to learn, that I've been able to keep a job, that I've been able to be married and be a housewife and so forth, a mother, a father, whatever. That's a miracle, folks. It started with you. And it's going to go all down through your life to the very end of your life. You're going to see different miracles. So today, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the miracles I've seen. I've seen instant ones. I've seen some that wasn't so instant. But I've seen them over and over. Brother Philip, Sister Rosie had a baby. That was quite sick. I was pastor there. And we went over to visit and to pray for the child, and we done all that, and they showed me and everything, and then we took it out and we laid the baby on the floor and we all got kneeled around that child. And when we did, the presence of God come in that room. We, everyone felt it. We knew He was there. Prayer was offered. We, the two of us, got up and eased out the door, and the child was well before we got out the door. He was healed right there when we were praying for him. And that's just one. And you've seen it. And people say, oh, God don't do miracles. Yeah, He does too. He's the only one that can do the miracles. And today, because of our connection with Him, because we're a son or a daughter, the bottom line is we're in a position to see miracles. How many of you have seen this week? How many of you have seen in your life? All right, let's go to Luke, the first chapter, 26th verse. Luke 1 and 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. In the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and the end of his kingdom shall be no end, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come down upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. All right, then I want to go to Matthew 1 and 18. Matthew 1 and 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, look at now, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She'll bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, the plan of God to do what we know it could do had to be perfect. And not only that, but it had to be basically supernatural, or a miracle. And that is that Jesus couldn't be born of the normal way. He had to have something that made him pure and holy. And so consequently, that way, when he come forth and the life that he lived, that put him in a position to be able to do for you and I what we need him to do. Listen, folks, today there have been people out there that was in drugs. The Psalm 194, Blessed Assurance, I believe it is. I had a kind of I wouldn't call it a vision, but a inspiration one night when I was working. And in that inspiration, I saw an old man or an older man. And he was drugged up, and he was an alcoholic, and he was in a mess, and he was down and lowly. Somebody got his attention, and he began to look to the Lord, and God saved him and changed him totally. Listen, folks, the very fact that the Jesus Christ the righteous can take a man or a woman, a boy, a girl that's in the deepest quagmires of sin and raise them up and raise them out, put their feet on a solid rock and do for them where that the old man is gone. It's not like it was anymore. It was totally changed. All the drinking quit, all the smoking quit, all the drugs quit. Everything that they had done, everything they were tied up with, is broken by the power of the Holy Spirit and by Jesus Christ in His blood, and raised him up and set him on a solid rock and established his goings. Listen, folks, there's only one person that can do that, and that's our Savior. He's the only one that's got it. And there has been, I don't know how many, I'm going to say millions of people that Jesus Christ has taken and delivered them from the quagmires of sin. My wife was in quite a mess of sin. She had not lived a saintly life. I'll put it that way. I don't want to lift her up. I don't want to put her down. But she was a sinner. But she came to a tent meeting in 1999 that we were having there. Brother Lewis Kimball, I don't remember if anybody else there. But anyway, Brother Lewis was there, and she come and said Brother Kimball got in the pulpit and he hit her over the head over and over, so to speak. She thought, he don't know me. He don't even know anything about me. And he was hitting her over and over and over. That got her attention. And she didn't that night come. But the Lord wouldn't quit, praise God. He kept working. Till one day, she said, do you know the pastor's phone number? Do you know where he lives? So they got the phone number, and they called me. And we met him at the chapel. And the Lord done with her what he had never done before. He redeemed her by the blood of the Lamb. And she quit the drinking and the things that she's doing that wasn't good. And she gave all that up. Well, she didn't give up. She was redeemed from it, praise God. The smoking. Oh, today there's been millions of people that has had this miracle happen to them over and over. And all they can do is look in awe and be gone for the very fact that they couldn't do it themselves. There've been many of people that tried to quit smoking. Many of people that tried to quit drinking and they couldn't do it. But they got Jesus and he delivered them, praise God. Know a family, I know two or three people. Got a good friend I've known there, well, since I was 11, so that'd be 61 years, I guess. And he told me, he said, Carl, I've been able, he got it, He got to a point, he got to do it. He got into a band and they got into the drinking and the smoking and so forth. And he said, I've been able to quit it all but one thing. I said, what's that, Robert? He said, I can't quit smoking. He said, I've tried and I've tried. Listen, folks, I know somebody that can help you with that. I know another case where a wife, husband was telling me about his wife and said she couldn't quit. Said she tried this and she tried that and nothing was worth it, Brother Carl. She can't give cigarettes up and she wants to quit. I said, have you ever heard any testimonies of what God does? He looked at me, he said, I said, how the Lord delivered from smoking. Have you ever heard those? I think he said yes. I said, you need to tell that to your wife. You need to let her know the one that can do what nothing else can do. We can get so shook up, so to speak, about something. I'm not talking about any of that. But even if we're living for the Lord, sometimes we can get kind of stirred or whatever you want to call it and thinking about it. But listen, folks, he can take anything. There's not anything. This God, this Jesus Christ has the power to be able to do for you anything you need him to do. People say, oh, I need a healing touch. He's given a lot of healing touches. There was a sister, a minister in Monarch one time. She told this to me. I don't know. She probably told it to others too, I'm sure. But she had been sick. Well, was sick. She was carrying an affliction in her body. And she was looking to the Lord to heal her. And it hadn't come yet. And she was sitting there. And this minister was preaching, and he mentioned the use of the scripture over there first, where it says he sent his word and healed them. I believe it's in Psalm. He sent his word and healed them, and she got a hold of that. That lit up in her mind and heart, and he said, healed her right there. It's instant. Some people say, well, I can do this over a period of time. You don't have to. God can do something instant. He can raise you up out of a bed instantly. There was a woman one time had a broken leg, and there were several preachers. I don't know who the woman was, and then I knew the one of the preachers because he's the one told the story. And he said they were anointing and praying for her, and said one of them had a vision of a light. It would come together and it would come apart. It'd come together and it'd come apart. It'd come together and it'd come apart. And he said then all of a sudden it'd come together, and when it did, she started shouting, God heal that bone right there in bed. And she got up out of bed, well, woman. Oh, today, God can give jobs. Brother Salmon said there was people over in West Virginia, two brethren, that needed some work, and they couldn't get a job. Well, the bottom line, Green Bank is not New York City or L.A., California, where there's multitudes of jobs. And said they got to praying, and the Lord gave both of these men an excellent job. Right there at the observatory, if I remember right, give them a good job. And so Lord is not hindered. Some people think, oh, this can't happen, this won't happen, and so forth. Listen, God is not hindered. Nothing stops him. His power is greater than anything that's ever been. There's no way that anything, any cancer, any sickness, any affliction, any type of thing that we have, well, if when we were in sin. In other words, no alcohol or drugs or anything. Any of that hinder Jesus Christ. He doesn't allow things to hinder because the power he has is so powerful that he can take care of it and do it instantly. And people get up and go, wow. Brother Salmon said he was praying. Said he was pouring out his heart to the Lord and said he wasn't getting anywhere. And he said, finally, he said, Lord, if thou can do anything for my soul, if you can do anything for me, have mercy on my soul. I believe the way he quoted it. And he said, right then he felt it. He was delivered right then. Instantly. I like an instant God, don't you? Somebody that can do things that nobody else can do. It takes prayer, it takes faith sometimes, it takes fasting. But the bottom line is, he can do a miracle for you right now. Whatever you might need. Or whatever's going to come in the future, he's going to give you something that maybe you've never seen or done before. Thank the Lord for a Christ of all miracles. Let's go to Acts, the second chapter. Acts the second chapter and the 22nd verse here. Said, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave his soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Now then, his birth was perfect. He lived about, 30-something years? And they set in to kill him. And they did. They crucified him. And they put him in a grave. And he kept telling his apostles, "This is what's going to happen. I'm not going to stay in there. I'm coming out." And for some reason, some of them didn't seem to really get a hold of it. But when God was ready, the resurrection solidifies and sets final things in place that this plan works perfect. He had to have that. He had to die, and he had to come out of the tomb and be resurrected out of the tomb, however you want to say it. He had to have that, so by everything that they had put in place was now set in place where it would never change. This book is an eternal book. It is the greatest book that's ever written. It is the most encouraging. You can read all kind of books, and I've read a bunch of them down through the years. Don't read much anymore of them. But those books out there, they can be whatever. But you read it once, and you read it twice, and you may get a little bit new, but it's the same reading over and over. But this book here was written by God. And this book here has a way that I've read scriptures, I've read the whole Bible through, I don't know how many times, and I've read certain scriptures and I've preached on scriptures for years, and the bottom line is, he can come along and inspire me with one word, two words, a whole verse, a whole chapter. He can fire me up on something and I've never seen it before. And over 50 years, or nearly 50 years I've been preaching. And so consequently, this book is a wonderful book for anybody to get involved in. I want to encourage you to read this Bible. I want to encourage you to memorize and learn. Children, the quicker you start memorizing scriptures as young as you are, the better off you are. As the older you get, it's not quite as easy as it was when you was young. So, he said here that they put him in the ground. But God, whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. In other words, we're not going to allow this thing to derail. Nothing's going to stop this. We're coming out of that tomb, son. We're coming out of that tomb, and you're going to be set in the place that we want you to be set on the right hand with all power. All right, let's go to Luke 18. Luke the 18th chapter. And about the 35th verse. And this right here, I'm fixing to read you one of what I consider one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful, scripture in the whole Bible. 18 and 35, and start reading. He said, "And came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, asked, 'What does it mean?' And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, he said, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole. No, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? What wilt thou? That to me is a powerful statement right there. There's nobody else can make that statement. The president can't. The kings can't. The queens can't. There is not a rich man in America or the world that can make that statement. They can do things for you, but there's one thing that they can't. Well, there's more than one thing. One of them is they can't save a person's soul. He can do that. There's another thing. Doctors help people. God heals people. God is a healer. It's not the doctors. It's God. They can fix bones. And they can do operations and so forth. But the bottom line is Jesus Christ has a power. He created this body. He knows more about this body than anybody else. Doctors say, well, I've done this, this, this. I still say that he created it and he knows it better than anybody. And when he sets in to do something, he does it right. Like I said, the sister Violet, they went in there and the doctor put a plate, I don't know exactly this word, but put a plate and put screws in it, and those screws was too long. He should have known those screws were too long. And they aggravated it. It got to a point where it was aggravating her body. And they went in and they x-rayed, I guess, and checked it out. And they go, here's the problem. If Jesus would have just healed that arm, she would have never had that trouble. And what I mean by that, he would have done it perfect. He would have done it perfect. I'm thankful today. He said, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Listen, folks, back then, there was things back then that doctors couldn't do anything with. And this was one of them. They couldn't help a blind man. Been blind maybe from birth. And he was in a position that I dare say he had heard of Jesus. And he went and he's there and Jesus coming by. And he started crying out. Listen, folks, we need to cry out. The devil said, well, you don't need to pray anymore. No, keep praying. Keep crying. Keep letting Jesus know that you need some help in your body. That you need this or that, whatever it might be. I'm going to tell you, he can give you money. He can give you cars. He can give you a home. There's nothing in the world that he can't do. And he's done it for years. He's a perfectionist at it. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What do you need this morning? What is your burden? What is your desire? Where are you at? The Lord wants to do something for you today, praise God. People say, well, I don't know. I do. I've watched him do it. I've had him do it. He has done things for me that left me, well, you say, my mouth hanging open, so to speak. Because of what he did. Instantly. Matthew Gillenbeck, as his mama said, was fooling around with boys, and I don't think he broke his ankle, but he twisted his ankle. He was supposed to go with Brother Michael right after the meeting, I believe it was, and they were headed for Africa, and he was going to be his assistant. He couldn't even walk without crutches. And he came down to the altar, and the ministers gathered around and started praying. And one minister got fired up off of another minister's prayer and started pouring it on. And Matthew got up and he went to that big wide aisle of Guthrie Church. He started shouting, I'm healed, I'm healed. And it was well right then and there. Oh, today, folks, what wilt thou? What wilt thou that I should do unto you? Well, you don't understand, Brother Carl. I might not understand, but he does. And he knows how to help us. He knows how to help us. Let's go to Mark 5. Here's a familiar reading, Mark 5 and 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. What faith! And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touches me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now then, again, this was something that man couldn't help her with. All the doctors, nobody had the power, the authority. She had heard of Jesus. She had knew about him. And she got a chance to be close to him. So she didn't come asking for anything. She had faith. Lord, help our faith today. Help our faith be aroused. Help it to be stirred. Help it to be in a place where we can reach out and touch him. Touch the hem of the garment. Listen, folks, we're close to him. We're not miles and miles away. He's right here this morning. Listen, if he wasn't, we wouldn't have any service at all. But the bottom line is today, Jesus has that power, and that love, and that mercy. And she touched the hem of his garment. If I may touch his, but his clothes, that's it. Well, you've heard the saying, just touch the hem of his garment and we'll be whole. And the fountain of her blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed. But Jesus immediately knew. Listen, folks, when you make contact with him, he knows what's going on. And when he ends contact with you, you know what's going on too. Gone out of him, turning him about in the press, and who touched me? Who touched my clothes? Oh, the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, and came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And what did he say? He said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Lord, help our faith to be fired this morning. Help it to be lifted up. For if we have a need, no matter what it is this morning, he's the God of all miracles, starting with you. And he saved you and he's delivered you and he's got you to the place where you're at now. He's still your Savior. He's still the one that can do anything you need him to do. But how's our faith this morning? Is our faith where it should be? I'm preaching to me too here. Is our faith where it ought to be? Lord, help our faith to be increased. Help it to be challenged and stirred this morning, that we can touch the hem of his garment. Sometimes that's not easy. But the Lord can help us. All right, let's go to Luke 7:11. 7:11 in the good book of Luke. It came to pass the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of the disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. Now listen to what this reads. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, weep not. And he came and he touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up, and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God had visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. Now then, we're getting a little bit more serious here. Here's this young man that had died. A young man. This man wasn't an old man. He was a young man. His mother, the very fact she had lost her husband, She had one son, and now he was dead. Can you imagine the grief she was in? Maybe some hope had about died because of the situation. But Jesus showed up. Now somebody says, can God raise from the dead? Can he? How many of you have ever seen him raise somebody from the dead? Well, I've not seen it, but I've heard of it. Brother Salmon said in South Carolina, and I believe Molly backed this up. She had heard about it too. But a man died right there in service one night. And of course the congregation got excited. And so they went back to where he was, back in the crowd. He wasn't up on the front seat. Went back there and they stretched him out on the deal. And Brother Salmon said his eyes rolled back in his head. Said his hand went limp in his hand. And he said, he was gone. Call the ambulance. Call the ambulance. Brother Salmon said, let's pray first. And he laid hands on him and he started praying. And he had one hand in his hand. And he said, all of a sudden I felt that hand react. He said, then I looked at his eyes, come back. And God raised him and brought him back. Well, he really didn't die, Brother Carl. Well, let me give you another instance of a man. What was that preacher out in California that read Chandler. I believe that was him, the one, Brother Chandler, Isaac Chandler. His sister died. And the Lord told him before she died, said, whatever you do, don't do anything with the body. Keep it right here at the house. Okay. So he let the people know, said, we're going to pray. I'm not going to call any funeral home. I'm not going to call any authority. We're going to keep sis right here and we're going to pray over her. I believe God's going to raise her from the dead. She was dead for a number of hours. She died in the morning. And what happened in the evening. So she was well dead, so to speak. And all of a sudden, as they was praying, God touched that body and raised her up. And she started coming out of that bed instantly. And he said every person in that house was going out every door they could. Listen, folks, today he can still raise people from the dead. There's no problem. He has the power. All we have to do is have the faith. And evidently, Brother Chandler just doing what the Lord told him. Said, don't move the body. I'll take care of it. And he did. Oh, I know this mother in this writing right here. I know she was one blessed woman. Her son was revived, lifted up. And she was able to go on with life much better than what she thought she was going to. All right, let's go to Matthew, the 8th chapter and the 5th verse. 8th chapter and the 5th verse of Matthew. It said, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of a palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man. Now listen to what this says. I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said to him that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. And as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now here's another case where a man had faith. I'm trying to stir you up in more ways than once this morning. Our faith and the depths of the miracles that he has done and he can do. Brother Sammons, he paid his bills personally, evidently. I don't know, I never asked him, even though I worked with him quite a bit. But he said that he was went into a place, and there was a woman in there, and she was dressed up and acted, she looked like a Jezebel. as some people would call her. And so he's in there, and they got to talking, and she said, "The Lord healed me of cancer." He said, "Cancer? Yeah. Are you sure?" She said, "Yeah, it's absolutely proven. I had it." And said, then we got to fasting and praying, I believe it was. And he said, "It's gone. The Lord healed my body." Brother Simmons walked out of the building. And this is the time Brother Murphy Allen was sick. And he said, "Lord, you healed her. And one of your own sons is laying on his..." I don't know if he was actually on his deathbed at that point, but he was looking like he would probably die. And Brother Salmon said, "Lord, why?" He said, "I heal some people out of my mercy. There's people out there in sin that he's healed their bodies out of mercy. He spared their lives out of mercy for the simple reason he wants to get them to heaven if he can." And so here's this case here that the Lord is working. And this man has authority and he has power. And he's looking Christ over, knowing that he has authority and he has power. And if the Lord says, if I can tell somebody to go do it, and they do it, or come to me, and whatever, and they do it, what about him? He's got more power than I do. He's in a position that can help me, that can do what I need him to do. And evidently he had heard about Christ. He knew something about him. So he just told him, said, "But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You don't need to come to the house, Lord. I don't want to bother you that much. Just speak the word." Here's the word. Like that sister said, she said in a meeting there, and the Lord inspired, that preacher was preaching, and he used that scripture, and between what he said and what the Lord then inspired her, and she got a hold of it, and he healed her right there. He can heal us today, right now. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel." No, not in Israel. I haven't found faith like that. Lord, help me and help all of us. If we lack faith, if we need our faith stirred up, let us look to the Lord. Let us read the Bible. Let us look and say, "Lord, help us that we may have the faith that you want us to have." All right, let's go to St. John 4 and 47. We'll be through here in a little bit. John 4 and 47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son. Okay, let's go 46 verse. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea unto Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Except you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe." And the nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." And Jesus saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." He inquired of what hour when he began to amend, and they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." So the father knew it was at the same hour which Jesus said to him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed in his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Now, there are been times down through the years, well, in the Bible and down through the years, that the Lord would work certain miracles, and that would have such a powerful effect on people that they would get saved. out of what he had done. Like the well in the Bible there in Acts, where was it Paul and Silas was in the prison? And or whichever one it was. But anyway, they were in the prison. Yeah, they were in the prison. They were singing and praising God through the night and or in the early morning hours, and the Lord sent an earthquake. And that jailer, he got saved and his whole house. And he washed their backs and he'd done things for them after he had done things to them. He had very nice to them. He was scared that, you know, something's going to happen. The Lord said, we're all here. Not the Lord, but Paul said, we're all here. You don't have any fear. So Lord, help us today to get a hold of the depths of what he can do. It's so easy today, and I'm not against borrowing money, but it's so easy today for us to just go and borrow money. Do you know why rich people have problems having faith in God? It's because they have about everything they need. They don't need to have faith in God. But you and I, especially the poor homeless preacher, so to speak, the workings of the Spirit that has supplied the ministers and the saints, not only the ministers, has supplied their needs and helped them over and over. There have been times that, I know one story was that a sister had saved back some money and she had placed it in a certain place in the house, and she was going to go, I think, to a camp meeting, and then when she got ready to go get the money, she couldn't find it. The reason was she had forgot where she put it. So what did she do? If I remember right, she prayed and asked the Lord to help her, and the Lord helped her get a hold of that money. She was rejoicing and praising God. Rejoicing and praising God. So Lord, help our faith today that it would be, this is a twofold, I guess. It said, 12 and 37 of St. John, it said, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah saith again, he had blinded their eyes, hardened their hearts, lest they should not see with their ears, see with their eyes, and understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Oh, Lord, help us today. All right, let's finish up in two places here. Let's go to Matthew 10 and 1. Matthew 10 and 1, and then one place in Acts, and I'll be through. Matthew 10 and 1, and when he called unto him, his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, and Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Libelus, whose surname is Thaddeus. He said here that he gave them power against all unclean spirits, cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now let's go to Acts, the third chapter, and wrapping it up here. So the Lord has, there's actually a special, I'm going to call it a special gift, that the Lord gives to some ministers that they can basically lay hands on, and people are healed over and over and over. I don't really know that we have somebody among the saints today that actually has this gift. Maybe I just don't know it. But back in the early days, And this is what the Lord done. Back in the early days, he was trying to get people's attention and help them to see that this is not just a fluke. That he is doing everything he preached and taught. And now then he's got his ministers out here and he's called them, he's taught them, he's worked with them, and he's given them the power and the authority to be able to lay hands on the sick. And here it is, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, 3:1 of Acts. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us. Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered into the temple, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which had set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now here's Christ. He's given these men the power. There is one place in Acts where it talks about that they laid them in the street for the very shadow of Peter going over them would heal them. Now, Lord, help us today. I'm not meaning to throw any stones. I'm just trying to stir us up that Christ is a Christ of miracles. He has all power in heaven and earth, and he wants to help us. What do we need? I've been feasting on this, well, about the time he showed me Enid for Sunday, all day meeting was coming up. Then he gave me this message almost immediately right after that, so I feasted on this, Brother Bob, for several days. And there's a lot more scriptures I can use. But Lord, help us today. Do we need anything? If we do, what do we need? And Lord, help us to have the faith to get a hold of the Word. And to get a hold and know, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? I've got it for you, children. Let's just believe and receive it. There was a man in Kentucky many, many years ago. And he was in a camp meeting out there. I don't know where. But he had come to the altar several times to get saved, and he couldn't do it. And the reason he couldn't pray through is because he had cheated his company out of money. And he knew that if he got saved, he'd have to confess sin. If he confessed it, he'd go to prison, and he just couldn't bring himself to do that. So they prayed this night, and they prayed the next night, and the next night, and he just couldn't bring himself to it. But one night he did, about 1:00 in the morning. And they said that he prayed through, and they said he come out of that tent shouting, and I guess he woke nearly everybody up in the camp. He had got what he wanted. And guess what? He confessed it, but he didn't go to prison. God can work in any way and anything that we need him to do. A miracle. Let's see some more miracles. How about it? Let's see God do some more miracles for the church of God. Right now in 2025, he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And like I said, I've quoted many times, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. All power. I've been hung up on that scripture for a while. I say hung up. I've been using it quite a bit. And Lord, help us. All power. Can we get a hold of what that means? All power. Not some power or a little power, whatever, but every bit. There's not anything that he cannot do for you and I. He can perform a miracle for you this day. Thank you for your time and attention. Pray for me.